everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, February 4th, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale and Essential Labs. If you need a company to help you private label your cosmetics so you can spend more of your time marketing them, then Essential Wholesale is the company for you. Find out more at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, today I was reading the newspaper and I saw a report by ABC News that had to do with charitable giving. And, of course, as indie business owners, with tax season just upon us, we are all trying to make sure that we make the most of any kind of charitable giving we took advantage of last year to help others, and we want to make sure that we enjoy the tax benefits that come with that. But this news report talked a little bit about fake charities and how we should try to avoid them and actually how to avoid them. So our show today is all about how to align your company with a nonprofit organization that allows you to make donations of your time and your money as a business to help others in need. And we're also going to be talking about how to spot charities that may not be putting your money and your time to the best use. And our guest today is a giving expert. Her name is Maggie Keenan, and she's going to be joining us in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to introduce you to my Indie Beauty Network member guest co-host today. Her name is Lila Barker. She is the founder and owner of Bella Luce Skincare in Columbia, South Carolina. She is also the 2007-2008 Indie Business of the Year. And you can visit her website at Bella Luce, BellaLucce.com to learn more about some of the fabulous spa products that she offers there. Welcome as a guest co-host, Lila. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting, even on a Monday. So forgive me if my brain's not in gear. I'm not a big Monday fan, but I'm so excited to be here, and the subject strikes close to my heart, so it's exciting to be able to participate.
Well, I know it strikes close to your heart because I can see that from your website, and that's one reason why I wanted so much to have you on the show today. Lila, tell us a little bit about your philanthropy. You've been involved in a variety of different charitable opportunities since your business started back in 2003. Tell us a little bit about how you've chosen charitable opportunities and how they've advanced your business.
Well, we really kind of built charitable giving and philanthropy into the foundation of the company. I didn't want to be one of those companies that's kind of bootstrapping it all the way and decides that when we make X amount of dollars, when we're profitable, we will begin to give back to the community in some way. So we really built it in into the foundation from the first day that Bella Luce sold its first bottle of lotion. We have experimented with several different methods. Kind of our niche is in sourcing global exotic ingredients. And so that's really where we focused our giving, preferably on communities that are either, one, dear to my heart, or two, communities that supply some of the raw materials that are used in Bella Luce products. So we have experimented with doing it on an annual basis and switching charities every quarter. We actually are changing things up again for 2008 and doing something that's really, really exciting for me. But we've donated both domestically and internationally. We've done medical kits to Doctors Without Borders with our donation for Thanksgiving last year. Thanksgiving of 2006 was livestock through the Heifer International Program to go to families to help provide an income for them. We've worked with a women's cooperative the cooperative that makes our shea butter that's used in many of our products. Goodness gracious, we've done Trickle Up and sponsored 40 grants for women in Mali, Africa, who can use those micro grants, start their own companies and get themselves off and running with some job skills to provide for their families. We've really done a wide variety of things. In the Columbia, South Carolina area where we are based, we have done Christ Central Mission. We have donated time to them and gone out and served meals to homeless people in the Columbia, South Carolina area. We have donated, the past month of January of 08, we bought all 5,000 plates that were served in that one mission to local disadvantaged and displaced people. We've really done a lot. Every year, on the last day of each year, we as a company pull together and go out to a nice lunch and reflect on our victories of the year and then spend the afternoon at a different charity. Last year it was Christ Central. The year before it was Ronald McDonald House. So we incorporate that way via time that we give, via dollars that we donate, and also through our products themselves. If we have any damaged or products or a label that's not on quite straight, we save those and donate them to Sister Care here in Columbia, which is an abused women's shelter. We had extra surplus boxes. Yeah, it's great.
And you run the business, too.
And I run the business, too. And then we had surplus cardboard one time and donated that to City here in Columbia. So we try with anything that's a cast-off of the company and the excess with our time and with our money to really integrate the philosophy throughout the entire business.
Well, let me ask you this, because one of the things that's so interesting about what you said, and there are so many, is that you started your program of giving at the same time that you started your business. And most people who are indie business owners are really, you know, working with very small profit margins and maybe even just a tiny bit of startup capital. How did you make that decision, and how did you do that so early on in your business?
I think it's a matter of being lean, and that's something that as my company has grown, we've always looked at being lean and squeezing every last penny of profit out where we can within reason. And I think that no matter how you want to give, if you're determined to give, you can find a way. Find a cause that's very close to your heart and just pursue it. And initially, if you can't give dollars, because, you know, we bootstrapped it and are still bootstrapping it, so I certainly am no stranger to that, but you can certainly give your time and your presence. As a new company without a lot of funding, you can do charity highlights. You can blog about charities that are close to your heart. So even if you can't be physically in the same city or you can't cut them a check, you know, you're giving them promotion. And I think that that inspires awareness and motivates other people into action. So that's one way to get started.
That's really, thank you for those tips, because, you know, I think some people feel as though if they can't give a lot, then their giving really doesn't count.
And I think that can be discouraging. One thing that we've done with Bella Luce is to try and really focus, laser focus, where those dollars are going and what they're doing. And so we name them. In other words, we don't just give $500 to Doctors Without Borders. We figured out how many medical kits that could buy and told Doctors Without Borders where we preferred those medical kits to be used. And I think when you do that, you can see your dollars in action, and you realize the essence of every last penny and how impacting that can be. A dollar here, to us Americans, is a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. That won't even get you into Starbucks, right?
But right.
A dollar to someone in Africa is you know, 3 or 4 days worth of food. And so you understand the impact of those small dollars here make huge impacts elsewhere. And so that's been really impacting to me, to find charities that are willing to tell me where my dollars are going. And then you realize that even those tiny amounts can make a huge life-changing difference to someone somewhere else.
And how do you find them? How do you find the charities?
I'm a fairly politically active person. I am on Google. I mean, Google's my best friend. I'm attached at the hip to my laptop. I read news articles. So I don't necessarily ever go out and have to look for a charity. It's things that I hear about. It's something on the news that moves me or strikes me. And I go, I'm going to figure out how we can help, in that region or in that situation. And that's really spawned us. I had mentioned we are doing something new for 08, and I'm so, so excited. There's a great charity we've worked with in the past called Women for Women. Have you heard of that one, Donna Maria?
Yes.
Okay, it started by a woman who really wanted to do kind of we've heard of the Adopt-a-Child program, so you are a monthly donor, and you support one child in Africa or somewhere in a disadvantaged region. Women for Women does the same thing. It pairs women who have means with women who don't have means, and often in war-torn countries or in countries that are affected by poverty, famine, natural disasters, that kind of thing. And for a monthly donation, that's a consistent monthly donation, you provide their food, their housing, and their educational needs. So they motivate these women to acquire business skills or further their education and become self-sufficient. Bella Luce, as of this month, employs 8 women full-time. And so we have made a commitment where we have adopted 8 women for the whole of 2008. So each one of my employees, their work here at Bella Luce also provides work and life training and sustenance for women somewhere else in the world. And we actually have the names and the photos of those women and encouraging our staff to communicate with those women. And that's really neat when you get your staff involved, because then they feel motivated and encouraged to work both within your company, and I think it inspires them to be more philanthropic mm-hmm. in their personal lives.
And Leela, you know, of course, there's no shortage of giving opportunities. You don't really have to look too terribly hard to find them, but you may have to spend a little bit more time finding some that really do align with your mission. What sorts of things do you look for as a woman-owned business when it comes to finding opportunities that really do dovetail with what your business is all about?
Well, I obviously am a huge believer in girl power. I employ women. I am a woman. So we often choose charities that target women with their giving. That's certainly not hard to find. Women all over the world are in crisis and in need of a lot of help. I work within specific regions. Like I mentioned earlier, if it's a region we do a lot of work with raw materials from, we certainly try to give back to those regions. You know, when I look at a charity, I generally try and speak with someone at that charity. We don't just go off your web documents or what have you. I'll ask for their accounting records. Any reputable charity will give you those so you can see where those dollars are going. I usually try and find, like I said, a live contact at that charity that I can communicate with, and I encourage them to be accountable. When we did the African grants with Mali and Trickle Up, they actually gave us quarterly reports on the grants and who was getting them and what progress was being made. So I think it takes a little bit more time and dedication to really do it right, but I think the rewards certainly warrant the extra effort.
And so you've actually been able to count the dollars and track them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a more empowering. It's easy to cut a check. It doesn't take much more time to cut a check and then kind of follow those dollars. And I think when you are a donor, you can ask for accountability, you know. So we gave $500. Right now, where do you need that $500, and what do you anticipate that's going to go for? And I think, you know, I have a business blog where I kind of highlight our giving and talk about various things at the company, and our giving being one of them, but it's also fun for our readers and our clients to follow where those dollars are going, and I do think it inspires other people to get involved in a charity that may be close to their heart or close to their home and really get motivated to get out there and do something.
And you've done a really great job of combining local giving with international giving, and being an online business and having be related to the internet, you haven't left out your local community.
We did for a long time, Donna Marie, and I think that was one of my faults, as I really continue to look internationally, and I think that those are the causes that strike me immediately when I watch the nightly news. But this year, in the past 6 months, we've really made a concerted effort to also work locally, and that's been very rewarding, because those are the people I can stand across from, you know, and you see the gratitude in their eyes, and you give them a hug, and when we serve at the mission, sometimes you see the same faces over and over, and you get to build relationships, and it's another tangible way to see the impact of your time and or your dollars. So we've definitely made a bigger effort to work locally.
And since you have 8 employees that are presumably locally living near your business, or at least in Colombia, then it makes an even bigger impact, right?
Absolutely. We have 7 employees based in Colombia, and we have 1 employee that just opened our Seattle office. So she's not with us. We do have a woman sponsor for her through Women for Women. But I do. When we go down and we donate time, there are 7 warm bodies there. And so it's easy as a company to kind of magnify and multiply that giving.
Yeah, that's really great. It sounds wonderful. We're going to open up the phone lines after our first break. I want everyone to feel free to call in and tell us about your charitable giving with your indie business. The toll-free number is 800-773-0355. We're going to bring Maggie Keenan, our guest for the day, into the conversation after our first break. But before we go, Leela, I want you to tell everybody, just in your little 67 capsule, tell us about your starting your business. I mean, it's such a phenomenal story. You've been on the Home Shopping Network and everything, and you just started in 2003. Do you sleep?
A little bit, not as much as I should, probably. But I had battled cancer myself. My sister had a big cancer scare, and so we really started to investigate, you know, what's going on with healthy women in their 20s. Why are we battling and being plagued by these maladies and ails? And I got turned on to a British study that talked about some of the preservatives in cosmetics. That led me to make cosmetics as a hobby, lotion and potions and fun things. A few years later, I found myself in the middle of a divorce going, how in the world am I going to care for a one-year-old and a four-year-old and stay home and still put dinner on the table? So I took what had been a hobby with my skincare and turned it into a business and bootstrapped it all the way. We've had to fight some hard battles. We've had many late nights and long weekends, but 4.5 years later, we have 8 full-time staff, a 6,000-square-foot facility, and we sell to over 400 spas, salons, and upscale gift boutiques in about 30 countries.
Wow, what a phenomenal story, and it's so great, of course, to get a chance to chat with another, what I call a bootstrap babe.
All about the bootstrap, and I wouldn't know any other way to do it. But, yeah, it's been a wild ride. I'm very fortunate.
Well, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Maggie Keenan, the owner and principal of Giving Advice. She's going to help us put all this together for our own businesses. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we're here today with my indie co-host, Lila Barker of Bella Luce at BellaLuce.com. And I'm pleased to introduce you to our guest today, Maggie Keenan. She is the owner and principal of Giving Advice, a company that creates giving programs for community-minded companies that want to contribute to the world or in their own hometown. Maggie has authored numerous articles on strategic philanthropy for business and is the go-to person and expert on giving for small businesses, entrepreneurs, and family foundations. Her focus is on making a difference for her clients and the causes they care about most. You can read more about Maggie and her company at givingadvice.com. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Maggie.
Oh, hey, thank you so much.
It's great to have you. Did you see the story on ABC News this morning called Creative Consumer, Real Intentions, Fake Charities?
I did.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's part of the article I thought was really informative. You know, some of the information that's in there, I'm always one to question, where did they come up with that percentage? So, yeah, there's very much some validity to the points that were made in that article, specifically about fake charities or charities just being a lot more transparent with information to donors.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I noticed in there they mentioned that one place people could go to kind of get a feel for the viability and the sincerity of an organization, a nonprofit, is the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance. Have you heard
yeah.
of that?
Yeah, I have. I always recommend, and I think even one that others can check out, is actually CharityNavigator.org.
Okay.
They're probably the most widely used one for checking out charities. And I like their information, the way it's kind of disseminated. It's just really easy to follow for anybody that's looking into a charity to find out if they're on the up and up.
Well, yeah, I saw this article and I was kind of sad. For those of you who want to take a look at it, just go to abcnews.com and search on fake charities and you're probably able to find it. It's really insightful. But, Maggie, you know, I'd like to ask you about you know, just generally, I'm a small, I'm an indie business owner, I'm just starting up my business, and I want to provide, you know, help somehow. I want to give back. I want to align my company with a charitable organization. What are some of the things that I would need to look at my business to help me find organizations that would be good for me to connect with?
Well, I think that a really great place to start is actually backing up a few steps before you start looking for organizations, and then really defining or aligning what you really stand for through your business, through giving back. And I think that just by having that a little bit more clear and focused actually gives a business owner a real sense of commitment to long-term giving, as opposed to something this year, something next month, something this week. So I think that that would be a really good place to start. And then after, you know, somebody is really very concrete and very crystal clear about what their mission is through their business and giving back, and their focus is to then start, you know, I think a really good thing is looking at causes versus specific organizations and having a sense of what causes interest you, and causes meaning the words of breast cancer research, diabetes would be a cause, Alzheimer's would be a cause, hunger would be a cause, and then under them would be the charitable organizations which you can select from, and then, you know, that goes back to you want to give locally, like Layla was doing international, and now she's kind of more grassroots in her own local community, or nationally, and then narrowing down that list to those that, you know, once you've kind of collected information, you really feel that this is who you want to go with.
So at the beginning, you're really talking about making this a part of your business planning process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's got to be. It has got to be, and that is exactly why I do what I do, because giving is always seen through businesses, not big corporations. Big corporations, those that we know, the real large, you know, top Fortune 500 companies, they're on the ball, they're on the stick. And it's incorporated as a part of their business and managed like every other aspect of their business. And so small businesses are really no different in the respect that it really should be a part of your business plan each and every year, a part of your, you know, marketing plan, a part of your budgeting plan, for it to be really successful. It's you know, the easy part of giving is, like I always say, writing the check. But for it to really for the business to really benefit from giving back, and that's not a bad thing. If you're doing it through your business, it really needs to, you know, that needs to be there so that you know there's some measure to your success with giving. So, yeah, absolutely, it should be a part of your a real live thing of your business. Mm-hmm.
If you have a question or a comment for Maggie, and you're setting up a giving program for your company, feel free to join us. The toll free number is 800-773-0355. Maggie, what are some of the biggest mistakes that small business owners make when it comes to delving into this area?
Yeah, I think that there's two. The biggest mistake I see small businesses and solo entrepreneurs make with their business is kind of they stick with the pink because it's popular, and or they go with the next trend that they see, or they feel that they're going to give to an organization because they've been pressured or asked, and they feel bad about saying no. So there are some of the things that they're the biggest mistakes that I see. The second part, or another biggest mistake I see, is that they don't have a giving plan in place for that year. So that would be the two top biggest mistakes. The most common mistake, which is different than the biggest mistake, is small businesses, they never check in with their financial advisor or whoever does their books for them about their giving before the calendar year starts, or whenever their business year starts. And that's real important for tax reasons. So, yeah, you definitely want to be wise and check in with your advisor, which most don't. I mean, it's like 3/4 really don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I can just piggyback on that as well, what Maggie was saying, I've had the same basic experience is kind of once the word gets out that you're a small company that is focused on giving, we have people that literally fax us requests we get at least one or two a day, and kind of the word gets out, and we have every small school district and, you know, Girl Scout troops, and it's very hard, but you have to continue to look at your viability as a company. And I am such a bleeding heart that I would absolutely write a check to every single person that sent in a request, except for the fact that I put this company out of business very quickly, and that doesn't really help us to empower other people and to be sustainable. And so I think you have to learn to say a firm no and really get an idea of what's important to you and kind of target where you're going with your giving. And I think Maggie's brilliant in encouraging people to have a plan for that, because otherwise you'll find yourself giving a gift basket or a small check to the 50 organizations that write you throughout the year. And at least in my experience, it's been more impacting for us to work with a few specific charities on a larger scale than to kind of work independently with a bunch of different people that approach us throughout the year, if that makes sense.
Oh, I love you, Leela. Thank you so much for that. That's really beautiful. And that happens. I work with small businesses who then, like yourself, the requests start coming in or the phone calls start coming in, and then they become so overwhelmed with trying to manage donations, and they're trying to run their business at the same time. But one little tip, that once you become focused on your giving, the nonprofit community in your town is pretty small, whether it's a large city or not. It's pretty small, and the word gets out about what your focus is. So without having to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't right now, for whatever the reason is that you give, when you start to focus, those unsolicited donations start to decrease because the word's gotten out what your focus is.
I agree. But I just think it's important for women, especially as women into business owners, we generally are a very kind brood, you know, and
right.
It's important to be able to say, I would love to help you, but unfortunately we earmark a certain percentage, and that is going to, you know, specific charities. And you can phrase that how you want, but I think it's great to be able to say, I would love to support you. I'll send you warm thoughts or say a prayer. I wish you the best of luck.
Right.
But this is where we're working, and, you know, you're certainly welcome to send in a request. And quarterly or annually or biannually, you know, we review things, and we'll see if we can work with you in the future, kind of thing. But it's important for women as mothers, as business owners, as wives to be able to say no.
Right. One of the things I've seen online businesses do quite effectively is create a philanthropy page or a giving page that explains their policies and practices and actually puts up a form so that in order to request a donation or whatever it is, you complete the form, and that really helps to streamline the process for everyone.
Right, and
I should probably
the large corporations really do that, and they do that well. And you usually find that sometimes under their corporate philanthropy, sometimes they tuck it under their corporate social responsibility page or corporate citizen page, which is philanthropy is a part of social responsibility or corporate social responsibility, but it's not all of it. So you might find it in different areas like that. But right, and that's one of the things that when we work with small businesses, that we incorporate kind of a marketing plan to go along with communicating your giving.
And well, let's talk about that a little bit, Maggie, because of course, as women, as Leela just mentioned, we are so inclined to want to be able to connect with other people in this way. Tell us a little bit, Maggie, about how to make that connection translate into enhanced business opportunities. I mean, we all want to be able to help other people, and that's certainly true, but in reality, as one of the things Leela mentioned is, you know, you can't say yes to everyone. You have to make sure that you don't bankrupt your company, while at the same time you help as much as you can. How do you make the connection between, as a small business owner, between, you know, keeping the profit margins what they need to be, and also letting your customers know that you're participating in these kinds of efforts and enhancing their loyalty to your particular brand?
Right. Well, that's kind of a twofold. So let me address the first part, which is, you know, you don't want to start giving till you have nothing left to give. Which happens so frequently. So one of the key red flags, I would say, that if you're giving throughout the year and you're in a 12-month calendar, and by the 8th or 10th month you get requests and you just can't fulfill any of them because you're making a marginal profit and you just really have nothing left to give, that would be a red flag that, first of all, you need a giving plan, but on top of that would be your budget for that giving for that year. So it's actually a line item, so you know exactly what you can give. So once you know what you can give, and, you know, I like to work with, and actually Layla did a great thing. She talked about volunteering is leveraging all your assets, be it knowledge, product, cash, or time. And I'll use myself as an example in a second here. But once you have that in place, I think just how it impacts the company is, one, through volunteerism in your community. You're making connections. You're even though you're out there on a Saturday or on an evening and you're doing something for a special event or being a part of a project, you're always making connections, and there's that face-to-face connection that you make with other people that you otherwise would have not had the opportunity to really meet in your community. Mm-hmm. So that actually helps to increase your visibility. And I love it when small businesses like y'all wear the same color T-shirt and you might have your logo on it or something fun to kind of identify that this is what you're out there doing. So that is a great thing to do. The other way that is communicating and incorporating into your giving plan every year a marketing plan for that. So, you know, this is going to be one slice of your marketing plan, if you will. And part of that is to how are you going to communicate to the community that you are philanthropic? How are you going to communicate to your customers that you're philanthropic? Because what I think is so important, it's just not about, you know, me in business and looking what we're doing and looking how great we are and, oh, we're so giving. To me, with philanthropy, what I have seen over the years, and I've been in the field for over 15 years actually, is that when one person begins, others will follow. And so it helps to promote giving. It helps to promote philanthropy so that the word begins to get out to your customers. Studies have shown that actually customers will not only be more loyal to you because there's kind of like an embedded giving on their behalf if you're doing something that's more cause-related and giving back 10% of the proceeds for this or that. Now, that's a marketing expense, but neither the way, it's kind of, it's like an embedded giving, so they know for change that they've given you on the part of a sale is going back to. So there's a sense of commitment. And if you're women doing business with women, a woman doing business with women, that's even a better plus. And then lastly, they're more likely to refer people and friends to you. You know, if you look at large companies and communities that are polluting your river or you just know have some type of stink and there's not a lot of goodwill, that gets around. But those that really start to become more engaged in philanthropy in their community, that word gets around because you start building your story, building your relations, media. They want that. They want to communicate that. So part of that is increased brand awareness, visibility in your community, and studies have also shown that, you know, you've increased sales sometimes.
Right. It really does intersect with everything. We're going to take our break and come back and talk more with Maggie Keenan of Giving Advice and, of course, my guest indie co-host, Leela Barker of Bella Luce. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today talking with Maggie Keenan of GivingAdvice.com. She's been sharing some great tips with us about how we can align our businesses with charitable organizations and really do some real good and encourage others also to do the same thing. And, you know, Maggie, it occurs to me that sometimes, you know, not everyone thinks it's such a good thing to you know, post at your website or in your blog or whatever what your giving involvement is, and I know Leela's had some experience with that.
I have, unfortunately, and I think it's awful that sometimes we as women are so critical of other women, but every once in a while we'll get kind of a general email into our offices that just kind of say, you know, I would respect you more if you gave and didn't promote it. And my answer to that is, well, if I gave and didn't promote it, you wouldn't know that I was giving, right? So everyone's going to be a critic, and I realize that you can't please everyone. But in my opinion, Maggie, and I'm really, really, really curious to have you weigh in on this, is that in giving, it not only doesn't create customer loyalty to us, I think it reinforces the core values of my company. It makes me feel great to do it. It enriches the community. And in talking about it, it motivates other people to get involved. It may inspire someone else. And it also is promotion for the charities that we work with, because sometimes we work with charities that aren't quite so well known. So that's my philosophy on being able to put it. I'm honest about what we give and when we give and how we give, but I don't have a problem laying it out there as a company. Maggie, what's your experience on that?
Well, you just said it so beautifully. And first and foremost, my whole take on that is that any business that gives back has a social responsibility to communicate that. Now, there's always on the other side of the coin that some people say giving should be personal and private. Yeah, your personal giving, your family's giving, perhaps. But when it comes to your business, I strongly feel that each and everybody in business, whether you have a storefront or a virtual presence, you have a social responsibility to communicate that. And for the exact reasons that you just said, but what it does is, and in my professional opinion, is that it really helps to inspire others and to promote philanthropy, and that is not a bad thing. The other thing that it does is nonprofits in your community, they need to raise funds to keep their lights on, fulfill their mission, serve clients, run their programs, and the way nonprofits raise funds first and foremost is through awareness in their community. They have to educate and build awareness about what they do and who they serve. And by you or any other business communicating that, you know, we give to back, you know, give to back, woohoo, we give back to such and such organization, it helps that nonprofit to elevate their awareness through your own through your communication. So not only are you providing them financial or time in giving back, but you're also helping to promote their cause, and that for them can mean and lead to a donor base. So that's real important, if anything, is social responsibility and to elevate awareness about what nonprofits are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's such an interesting issue. I'm wondering, like, why would that even be, you know, a problem for a person that you share that information? And I hope that, you know, for everyone that's listening to the show that's out there, that if you are participating as a business in helping others, that you do find a way to share that with your customers in your newsletter, at your website, your blog, or when you go out speaking or networking in your local chamber of commerce or whatever it is. It really does inspire other people, and it motivates other people. We've all seen the commercial. Have you guys seen the commercial where, you know, there's like a street scene, and this lady is standing at the street corner, and a man is walking by with his iPod on, and he's not paying any attention to the traffic, and she pulls him back
mm-hmm.
side of the sidewalk, and then the next scene is him helping someone else.
Right.
They
right.
focus on who's watching that, and then the next scene is the person watching that helping someone else. I mean, you don't even have to have the sound turned up to see what that message is.
Right. Right. Pay it forward. And I do hope that as we evolve, that we aren't so critical of how we announce it. But as Maggie said, I personally don't tout my personal giving, but as a company, I will shout that from the rooftops. I'm incredibly and proud of it. It's one of the most rewarding aspects of being a woman business owner. And I do. I think it encourages other people and gives a voice to some of the charities that we're working with.
And well, it's also one of the ways that small businesses contribute to our society just as a whole. I mean, we all talk right. about how great it is to have small businesses. It helps improve the job situation in your area or improve the tax base. But look at what else this does. This is literally creates money and opportunities for people to share it with people who need it. What could be better than that?
Right, and it does have to be done with a strategy. Your communication plan needs to be done with a strategy, because otherwise, for example, there was a local business in the town that I live in, and every month they were communicating this charity and that charity. It was just something, it seemed like every week, and it was like, okay, so it appeared rather opportunistic. And there's a strategy, and I think when it's done well and done effectively, the message is well received. Yeah.
Well, that's a really good point, that it sort of seems kind of shotgun. Let's throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. Oh, my gosh, it's the last day of the month. We have to pick a charity for March.
See, so that Max, happens.
Tell us a little bit. Well, hopefully, if anyone's listening to this show, you're giving them lots of good reasons not to do it that way.
Right.
How did you get started in this field? This is such an interesting, but I think it's a growing field too, right? What sorts of trends have you noticed in the giving arena in the past few years?
Well, some of the trends that I've seen is there's been a kind of an increased awareness about philanthropy and giving back. And I see a lot in the media and on in news about making a difference. I mean, that word, those three little words couldn't be more all over the place, if you will. And I think it's been increased awareness basically through just our increased globalization through the use of technology and having an awareness about what are some of the disparities that are going on in communities and even around the world that years ago we would have never known existed. So, and then part of that is just our own humanitarianism that just comes through with the wanting to help. The other thing that I think has been a trend is kind of a pop-up of microfinance organizations, kind of like the kivas.orgs. There's been a lot of them that have really popped up in the past 3 or 4 years. So there's some of the trends that I've seen. There's not been a decrease in giving by any stretch of the means, according to Giving USA. There has been a decrease in some trust in nonprofit organizations, but the good news that has come out of that is that there has been an increased demand for transparency on their part to reveal information about themselves so that donors are a little bit wiser with their giving. So there are some of the trends that I've seen happen.
Well, and oftentimes you can go on their website and you can see their publicly available report.
Right.
There's financial sheets and all that kind of data.
Right, and that's public information. Yeah.
And Maggie talked about CharityNavigator.com earlier in the second segment, and I wanted to go back to that just very quickly. That's where we research as well. And you can see they're rated by stars. It's got their historical data, their accounting data, how much of the money goes to administration, to fundraising. It's a really valuable resource, and I'm a simple girl. I like pictures. They even put it in pie graph format.
Yeah,
so
they do. It
very
is.
Very easy
love
to
it.
Follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good CharityNavigator.com, a really good resource. Maggie, we've talked a lot about indie business owners aligning themselves with other nonprofits. Have you worked with companies that want to start their own nonprofit organization, and what kind of suggestions do you have for businesses that would like to do that?
I have facilitated the process for those that have wanted to start up a nonprofit. It has not been necessarily through the business, because if it's going to be through your business, then I would suggest talking with an attorney about what's called a supporting organization, sister type one, and that's real technical, but that would be the route you would want to go. But if you're just looking to set up a nonprofit, be prepared to give up your business. So, you know, there's no doubt about it. If you're looking to set up a nonprofit to support because you believe in this cause, then be prepared to give up your business, because you cannot effectively, or if you're looking at it as a strategy to roll out of your business and then go into nonprofit work. So it's 100% commitment. And if it's going to be done
right. The time and the money that's involved, the commitment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You just can't set up these little fly-by-night nonprofits and expect to really do good. It takes financial resources. It takes manpower. It takes a lot.
And unless you can clone yourself.
Right.
If anybody
not
can
a good
take
idea.
That out, let me know, okay?
Well, we could all use a little bit of that. But, of course, you know, there is no shortage of, I mean, you know, you look at any number of personalities that have businesses in one arena or another, and they have set up, not as a part of their business, but separate from their business, a 501c3 charitable organization that has a particular cause.
Right, right.
And so it is an option, I guess, for people who do have the manpower or the additional funds and the support to make it work.
Right. An example is here in Savannah, we have a doggy boutique, very upscale stuff for your pets. And this young woman's goal is to be in business for 5 years. She just launched it last year.
Right.
Very upscale, very expensive. And long story short, in 5 years, she will close that business, and all the and everything that she's made from her business, net-wise, she's purchased a land out in another county, and she will set up a no-kill shelter. So that is her goal.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. That's exciting. I mean, you can be so creative, and I think women are especially good at this, figuring out different creative, unique, and new ways to help other people.
Right.
And you don't really always have to have a lot of cash on hand to do that.
No, that's the biggest myth I hear. I don't have a lot of cash. We don't have a lot of money to give, or I haven't made a profit yet. It doesn't matter. There are other ways you can give back, and if you just started your company, start now with a giving plan. Just start fresh and start now, and there's ways to leverage your assets to still make an impact, even if you only have, you know, less than $1,000 a year, believe it or not.
Well, you know, and sometimes because you're putting yourself out there, opportunities will come your way. I know of a woman who created some kind of an insect repellent type of a salve. I can't remember what it's called, but she has a girlfriend. She gave it to her, and that person sent it in a care package to her husband in Iraq.
Aww.
She ended up on the, you know, the evening news. Because ultimately what happened was there was such a demand for that because of all the, you know, strange bug bites that they get out there in the sand. There's nothing out there to help them with it. And they can take this small 2-ounce jar of balm and use it. And it's just amazing how she has, I mean, this is not something that she planned, but
right.
Has it happened because she put herself out there, because she made herself available for the opportunity to help other people by giving this to her friend, then, you know, suddenly she's got an entirely new way to make a contribution with her business that came quite naturally.
Right. Yeah, and that's the beauty, I think. And there's a philanthropy teleclass that I had held with somebody that's their specialty is metaphysics, and the whole session was on the idea of giving and then what you receive through your giving.
Mm-hmm.
The whole energy behind that. It is not my area, but it was something that really enlightened myself
mm-hmm.
and others, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how many of us, you know, served dinner at a soup kitchen or whatever it may be and thought, you know, I'm going to make a contribution and help someone's day be better and more enjoyable, and you leave the experience going, you know, I'm the one who got helped here today.
Right.
That's very often how I feel. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I get back more than I give, honestly, and I feel like I've cheated at the end because I'm like, I think I got more out of that than they did. But
right.
But it's a great feeling. I mean, and that's something that I carry with me. And on the days when it's tough, and you know, the water heater at the office is busted, or you know, you've got a grumpy client, or a project that's not meeting deadline, I reflect back on those things, and that kind of gives me a boost to keep going. You know, I think of the good that the company's doing, and the pleasure that it brings me, and it being able to do that, and it helps me sometimes to dig deep when I'm kind of teetering on the edge of sanity.
Well, on that note, you know, of just really encouraging people to put themselves out there and find ways to help other people, it, you know, it's just an amazing feeling, as you just said, Leela, that you get. Maggie, I'd like for you to take a minute and tell us a little bit about a new program that you just launched at your website.
I did. It actually just launched this morning, which I was sweating bullets because it was supposed to be launched on Friday, and, well, through technology, things just didn't happen Friday. So I just launched it today, and it's a giving strategy session, and it's a one-hour session with me for a very nominal fee. That out of that session one-on-one, we actually create your giving action plan. So if you don't have a giving plan, but trust me, if you're in business and you have a marketing plan and you want to give back, you best have a giving plan, because otherwise you would be like, you know, just taking advertisements out here and there and expecting it to work for you. So it's a 1 hour, and you get your giving action plan. So we actually create a detailed giving action plan based on your budget, based on what your interests are, your business goals are, your charitable intentions, and we lay it all out. And so I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled. And can I tell them the URL?
Please, yes. I was just gonna...
Okay. It's www.givingadvice.com. www.thegloboltalkradio.com. And the easy way to get there is if you scroll to the bottom of the page, there's three yellow boxes. And one of them says Giving Strategy Session with a link. And that link will take you to the Giving Strategy Session page.
Excellent. Okay. And you're also looking for some people to contribute some stories, their giving stories for a book you're working on?
Yes, I am. This year I'm working on my my book. It's an anthology about small businesses giving back, and I'm collecting stories from small businesses and solo entrepreneurs across the country.
Is there a link at your website where we can contribute our stories?
No, you can contribute to me directly via email, and I'll just give you my personal email address, and it's Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at givingadvice.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, Indie Business Radio, we are all about helping indie business owners in any way we possibly can, and I think this show is so great because we are, through Maggie and Leela's stories, able to really encourage people to not just be successful in business for the sake of being successful in business, but being successful in business to be able to help empower and encourage other people. And what great stories you've shared, Leela. And Maggie, thank you so much for the information that you've shared. Please visit her website at givingadvice.com. And don't forget to visit my guest co-host website at bellaluce.com. Indie Business Radio is sponsored by Indie Business Media. Please join me and continue the discussion at the Indie Business blog. And also I'd like to invite you to join me on this Thursday night for my first free group coaching session. We're going to be talking about email newsletters, how to set one up, how to make it work for you, how to make it generate new sales, how to make it generate exposure for your business, and just everything that you need to know all this month, every Thursday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Visit theindiebusinessblog.com for more details and information. Well, that's it for today. I'll see you guys next week for another edition of Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.